Amen. It is exciting to be back here at church. Been gone for a couple weeks, but a couple weeks seems like an eternity for me when I'm just used to being here and playing music and doing different things. So it's very good to be back here and see faces that I love and get excited to be here with. So as I mentioned earlier, I wanted to sing It Is Well because I wanted that to be our song to proclaim our faith, to say no matter what we face and what we go through, that it is well within us. We've got a Savior that has gone to the cross and He's paid the price for it to be well within us. Our joy still can remain as we face things because He is our joy and He is a source of our joy. Not what we give each other, not what we do for each other, because when we stop giving and stop doing, our joy fades away with that person. But His joy is always there and it is always constant. Amen. I want us to take just an opportunity to pray. I went and visited a church last week, and I was excited to go. It was with a co-worker. It was his church, and I wanted to go check it out. And it was a church. They have a lot of things going on. I thought, I just want to see what's happening in this church. He's always excited about what they do. And when they face things as a church body. I did miss the musical instruments last week as they sang a cappella, if that gives you a hint. But it was a fascinating and a great church, and I'm glad I went. And I'm not sure how many times they prayed during the service, but they prayed for everything. And I thought, well, I don't want to pray that often, but I think we need to pray. I mean, they prayed every time they changed. But I want us to take the opportunity just for a minute today that we pray. And we pray for the situation in Florida and what's going on there. And as we pray about that, I want us to think what we're facing in our own life. I want us to think about what we are facing in our own life. And if we want peace and we want comfort for those in Florida and those families, the multitude of families that this has affected and impacted, an entire school that is impacted forever. Every student, every teacher, every bus driver, every janitor, every cafeteria worker, every counselor, every principal. And if we pray for that for them, let's be sure we're praying that for ourselves in our situation as well. Can we do that today? Let's just take a minute to go to the Lord in prayer. And I'll just begin it with some silence and then I'll close us out. Heavenly Father, as we think about those impacted by the tragedy in Florida this past week, Lord, we remember those that have been impacted over the years with the same type of situation. Lord, we do come before you today as a body of believers, lifting up those families, those students, those teachers, those adults, that community, that school system. Lord, we lift them up to you today. Lord, we ask that you, in your way, through the work of the Holy Spirit, that you just find ways into those classrooms and those families and those homes and those lives to lift them up. To let them find joy in the midst of tragedy. To be comforted in the midst of tragedy. And Lord, as we pray for others, we look at ourselves also. And we ask that you hear our prayers. That we have the strength to lift up our own prayers as well. And in times like this, sometimes to put our own prayers and desires into perspective. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. So as we think about these events, we think about the different ages. I thought about our youngest ones, our babies in the congregation. And I thought about our young people that are down the halls right now being taught. And I thought about our teenagers. And I thought about our adult teachers. And I thought, we don't want to miss the opportunity, church. Oh my gosh, I was going to accept Christ this next week at church because they had talked about it last week. Well, I went to church, but I never really accepted Christ because I didn't want to be labeled a freak or a geek or whatever. Well, I'm an adult. I didn't want to accept Christ because I didn't want to look silly in front of a group of adults my own age saying, well, I've never accepted Christ and now they're going to call me a baby Christian. And I'm no baby. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 25. And I want to compare a story of a man that almost did. And in Acts chapter 25, in the previous two chapters, we know about Paul and the accusations that came against him. And he was preaching and teaching and telling people about Jesus Christ. And one of the things he said about him, and we'll be talking about this over the next few weeks, leading up to Easter, they say that Jesus is dead. He said, oh no. No, no, no. You see, you killed him and you hung him on a cross and you buried him. But Paul said, but I stand here in front of you and I proclaim that he's alive today. And it's the same message we need to be proclaiming to others. That today he's still alive. We can hear about all the other gods and the different people of different religions. But he's the only one that's come back to life. And so we know that Paul has gone away to prison. They've held him there for quite some time. We'll kind of skip through chapter 25 just a little bit. But in chapter 25 of Acts, verse 6 and 7, it says, when he had remained among them more than 10 days, and that's not the long time, he'd already been there a few years. But he had been there more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day sitting on the judgment seat, and we're talking about, I apologize, I'm reading this too fast, getting excited about this. Festus was sitting on the judgment seat. And it said that he commanded Paul to be brought to him. And when he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul. Now, one of the things they said is, hey, we're sending this guy to prison, and he's got to stand up to himself when they go to judge him. And he said, send these people that have brought these charges against him, send them down also so that we can hear this firsthand. Remember, quite some time ago, we talked about being good witnesses. And when you don't have it right, so they wanted to hear it right the first time from those who brought the claims against him. And it says, many serious complaints were brought against Paul, which they had not been able to prove, while he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I offended in anything at all. So he knew what he was doing. He said, I haven't offended any of you guys. I didn't break your laws. But listen, says, but Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things? And he said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. He says, if you have a just cause to bring against me, so be it. But if there is nothing in these of which these men say, accuse me of, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar. And then Festus says, you have appealed to him, so you shall go to him. That's great. Paul comes before King Agrippa. And let's skip over to verse 23, actually verse 22 of chapter 25. It says, then Agrippa said to Festus, I also would like to hear the man myself. Because Festus told him, hey, he said all these neat things, and I kind of was engaged in that and liked what he had to say. And I was compelled to listen. So Agrippa said, hey, I want to meet this guy. I want to hear him myself. Tomorrow, he said, you shall hear him. So the next day, when Agrippa and Bernice had come with great pomp and had entered the auditorium with the commanders and the prominent men of the city, at Festus' command, Paul was brought in. First things first, it's King Agrippa. So he came in with great what? Great pomp. Fanfare, oh, it was a big deal. When the king came in, King and Bernice, and it was a big deal when they came in, and they're in this huge auditorium, and it says, with all the prominent men of the city. Don't you know, all the prominent people seemed to always be around when Jesus was around. And if you remember, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, it always said, these guys were around, these guys were around, and they had great things to bring against him. They didn't agree. A turmoil arose amongst them even. I can't imagine with this what was going on. But all these prominent people. And Festus said, King Agrippa and all the men who are present with us, you see this man about whom the whole assembly of Jews petitioned me, both at Jerusalem and here, crying out that he was not fit to live any longer. But then in verse 25 he says, but when I found that he had committed nothing deserving of death. This is Festus, the one that sat on the judgment seat. He says, when I found he'd committed nothing deserving of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I decided to send to him. I don't know what to write back to these guys, he goes on to say. So maybe if we hear him today and hear you guys and your accusations against him, hey, then maybe I'll have something to write home about, if you will. Especially before you, King Agrippa, he says. So that after the examination has taken place, I can have something to write. But verse 27 lays a key also, because he had heard this and been concerned about it. He says, for it seems to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and not to specify the charges against him. You can only hold someone so long before you bring the charges against them and tell them, this is why we're holding you here. These charges have been brought against you. But it wasn't made clear in Paul's case. So Paul goes on and says, Agrippa says to Paul, you are able to speak for yourself. Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself and said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews. We're in chapter 26 now, verse 3. Especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. You're very knowledgeable in this area. And so I'm thankful to be standing before you where you can discern this stuff. Because you're an expert. Why in the world would I talk to this person who knows nothing about this area and have them judge me based on their feelings, perhaps? But he felt he was in good shape with King Agrippa. And what Paul does is go on to explain his early life. He says, back in the day, guess what? These people that were talking all about Jesus, I used to drag them off. I used to send them to prison. And when they were killed, it had my stamp of approval on it. I approved their death. Now, it never really says if he was involved in that in this section. But we know he was present at the deaths of Christians and followers. And we know he was in charge, and we know that he has approved those deaths. It said in some other scriptures, it tells that also. And he says, but I did this from my youth. All Jews know this about me. He was very well known among the Jews for what he had done and what he believed. And he says in verse 5, "They knew me from the first, if they were willing to testify that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise are 12 tribes," and it says they continued serving him earnestly night and day, hope to attain. "For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead?" And he goes on to tell them, hey, do you believe the prophets? Do you believe what they said? Because they said this was going to happen. I merely understood it and believed it at this point. He said in verse 11, "And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. Now, it doesn't say whether they actually did, but he was trying to get them to blaspheme their faith, their God. And it says, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. And then Paul goes on to tell him, by the way, King Agrippa, while I was doing my job, I was journeying to Damascus, and I had all this authority given to me. And at midday along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me, and those who journeyed with me saw it as well. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me in a Hebrew language. It said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But he told them, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. I'm here to tell you, guess what? He has also appeared to us and is available to us and wants us to call out to him to say, Lord, Lord, who are you? But he wants us to do the same thing. Rise and stand on your feet, because he's come and appeared to us as well for this purpose, to make us ministers and witnesses both of what we have seen him do and what he has yet revealed to us. And we may think, gosh, I haven't seen a whole lot of great things. Young people, in my experience in life so far, lo, these 13, 14, 15 years of life, I haven't seen God do much in my life. But he says, what you have seen, minister and be witnesses for that. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to do some crazy things in your life, so hang on. Oh, by the way, these other 1,000 and some pages, they're going to talk about some ups and downs that you guys will go through. But know this today. Know this today, that whatever he puts you through, it is well. Know that it is well in your soul. You were recently baptized. Hallelujah. It is well in your soul. You see, the old is gone and the new man resides inside of you. By the way, know that whatever you've been through, know that it is well in your soul today. Know that whatever mountain you are facing today, it is well. You see that mountain? He's going to move it into the sea. And know that whatever you go through, He says, I've got this today. I have this. And for you, I have come and I have carried this heavy weight. And you're still trying to carry your weight, but I've carried this weight, this weight. I've carried this so I know how heavy this thing is. And He says, I've carried this so you don't have to carry your weight any longer. Know that it is well with your soul today. Know that He came for this purpose. He says, stand to your feet. Know that I have come for this purpose to make you a minister and a witness. Young people, again, you are ministers and witnesses today for His love for you and for others. Start showing it if you haven't. Adults, start showing it if you haven't. He's come for you. He says, I've come so that you can open their eyes. He's come that we may open other people's eyes. Why? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. My Lord, that weight we carry around sometimes is our own unforgiveness of our own sins. Let yourself off the hook. Give it to Jesus. Don't keep going back and thinking I can just unhook myself and throw it back. No, repentance is what turns us from that. And then Paul goes in and says, therefore, in verse 19 of chapter 26 in Acts, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Therefore, we also should not be disobedient to God's commandments. But I declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, King Agrippa, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing to both small and great. He says, man, I don't have to have an auditorium full of people. I'm doing it in a room of three people. They came to the house for dinner. I was able to share this with them. I was in a great multitude, and I shared it with them. He says, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. That the Christ would suffer, that He would be first to rise from the dead. That He would be first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Both groups no longer have to be separated. He has come for all to see the light. Verse 24, now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. What better thing to say when you disagree with someone than say, you're insane, you're nuts, you don't know what you're talking about. I guess that was Festus, his best defense. A little compliment with a slap. And much learning has driven you nuts. He says, you're mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king before whom I speak freely knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. Oh, so you didn't hide it, so you weren't trying to do it as a secret thing. You did this all out in the open where everyone could see you. Yeah, I wasn't hiding anything. Verse 27, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe.
I know that you do believe. I think of times when Eric and I were youth pastors at Ground Zero, and we'd have young people. And I can't help but think we knew that they believed. And then verse 28 came. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuaded me to become a Christian." Eric and I have stood at that line. But you see, we can't push anyone into Christianity. We tell them about it. But it becomes their faith. And Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." Almost, church, doesn't get us there. Good intentions. I'd made a decision that next week I was going to make a decision to do this. As last week's events in Florida were a striking reminder, we don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know what the end of this day brings. We don't know that tomorrow could be our last day at our job. It could be a relationship issue. It could be a financial issue. It could be a health issue. But more importantly, if it is a spiritual issue of you knowing God today and not knowing Him, I want to give you the opportunity today to make that decision, because we don't want anyone to walk away saying, "Whew, that was good stuff, man. You almost got me. You almost had me. Thank God with my great education I was able to slip away before you dropped the net and got me." You see, God tells us, He says, "I've come so that you may have" what? "Life, and have it more abundantly, and have it to the full. I bring you joy that you may have it to the fullest." I watched a YouTube video, surprise. But I watched a YouTube video of a young lady whose son was shot and killed during a robbery. And the young man that she faced in court, she walked right up to him. And she said, "I don't hate you. I forgive you. You see, I can't hate you, because it's not our way." And then she walked over to the young man's mother and said, "I forgive you and I love you." And I thought, "Ooh, I don't know. That's a pretty bold step." But I'm thinking, in this book, He tells us time and time again, "I have made you so that you can take these bold steps." What keeps you away from God. What keeps you, Agrippa, from not being all in? Is it pride or arrogance? Could be. He came in with great pomp, right? That could be some pride around there. Had all this fanfare around him. I saw a pastor arriving to a church in a foreign country in this ridiculously expensive exotic car with a police escort. He was like a king. I thought, I wonder if he's almost persuaded, because I didn't think he was all in with that type of arrival and status. It takes a lot for us to be in. Well, I'm shy. I don't like that. I guarantee if I said, I'm going to pay you $1,000 a week to show up to church, you won't be tired as much. I'm not doing that, by the way. Don't even throw it out as a suggestion. But what I'm saying is these reasons that almost have us committed to faith, or almost have us, even once we do accept Christ. And we'll be talking about that over the next few weeks leading up to Easter. We'll be talking about when we have our faith, what are we doing with this? What are we doing with what we have? Eric has preached messages the last couple weeks about what are you doing with that stick in your hand? Use what's in your hand. Use what God gave you. Amen? But know today in your faith and believe it and proclaim it that it is well with your soul. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we read this story of King Agrippa. And we just ask and pray, Lord, that as we go about our daily business, those of us that have accepted Christ already, as we go about our business, Lord, that we do what Paul did. We're able to give examples of our faith and our testimony as we talk about pre-conversion, our life before we knew Christ. And then what brought us to that conversion, and then what we've done since that conversion, how He has changed our life and what that means to us and others. Lord, we don't want to miss the boat. Help us when others are near to You and calling out to You to guide and direct them to You. Today, I simply ask if there's those that have not accepted Christ before. At the end of service, if you would just come up and speak to Pastor Eric or myself so that we can talk to you about that. We won't push you into that faith because that's not true faith. But we'll guide you into that. Lord, as we go out this week facing the unknown, let us do it with boldness. Let us do it with joy in our hearts. Let us do it with an attitude and a spirit of peace and gentleness as Your word directs us in our communication and dealing with others. Lord, help us as believers, as followers, for our eyes to be opened to the light, turned away from darkness. Lord, for some of us that includes setting pride aside. Some of us to bridle our tongues. Lord, as we go out and face people, help guide our steps and our actions to represent and reflect Your love and Your light. And the words that we speak to one another, that they do the same. That they speak gentleness and peace to others. that we can edify those we speak to. Lord, whatever burdens we brought in today, that we could lay them down and leave them here. And as a church body, we could take and release that burden from others. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.